Blog Talk Radio.
So very faithless and perverse generation. Can you say faithless and what else? What makes a man get perverted without faith? What's perverted our Christianity? Faithless.
Don't say that profess that God has given you power, love, and a sound mind, and your mind is not sound. You don't have power to overcome your present situation and circumstances.
Now, the devil is always pushing. You can recognize the demons working because they always push to impetuous, immediate action. Don't think, do. And the devil say, if you don't do it now, you'll miss the opportunity. If you don't move now, if you don't sell now, if you don't jump now, it'll be gone.
And the kingdom of God is best expressed by authority and power to cast out devils.
Listen, dear friends, don't forget that little word he said, seek ye first. Come on, that's the secret right there, seek ye first. Seek ye first. Oh, I tell you, the average person said, seek me first. That's it, seek me first, put me first.
Well, anyone who opposes the kingdom of God and the casting out of devils. Because when we're of God's kingdom, our sole purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Our sole purpose is to cast down Satan's kingdom.
I can tell you whether you won souls or not, whether you get your prayers answered, whether you're happy or not, whether you got a happy home or not, whether you work killing in the church or not. I can tell you, if you love your time, and let me see how you start your day out. If you grab a cup of coffee and a newspaper and sit down for an hour and let the Bible go begging double, you're mixed up in worldliness.
The Word of God said, we're going over to the other side. And in the midst of the Word of God said, we are going over to the other side, the enemy showed up in the storm. And the first thing that the enemy did was challenge those who walk with Christ. Those who eat with him and slept with him and saw the miracle, the signs and the wonders done by him. The first thing that the enemy did was steal the word that they heard right out of their hearts and then allow doubt to rise up on the inside of them. And instead of believing what the word of God said, they said, Lord, we perish.
Reading the word that's going to give you faith, that isn't what he's talking about. It isn't just hearing the word that's going to give you faith. You've got to open your spiritual ear or eye as you hear or read the word and appropriate by faith. Make it yours.
That'll sober you up. That ought to melt your silly heart. I'm not interested in your feelings and your little silly sentimentality. I'm wondering about your love for Christ and compassion for others. Do you care? I'm asking you one question tonight. Do you love Jesus or do you love this stinking world?
But God wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. How many folks are deceived every single week? Going to hear what they call the word and it never once emboldens them or give them a desire or a passion to do the works of Christ.
We want just a bunch of sickly sentimentality, and we want to just fix up sort of a hiding place and a loophole for sinners to say, well, if that old cuss made it in, I can make it in myself.
The kingdom is within you, and the only kingdom that this world is going to understand until the king comes is what they see in us. Because now we are the only creatures that have the ability to walk in darkness and to walk in light.
How God's people grow up!
All right, shalom Israel, shalom, shalom. How's everybody doing? Can everybody hear me? The old audio check. And we'll wait to see how we're doing. Still, there they're coming in. All right, hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Scott. Somebody right on, Brother Ugly, always at 11. Hallelujah. I appreciate y'all for letting me know. Well, glory to the King. I hope everybody's encouraged this day and pressing forward to to the mark of the prize, the high calling. Hallelujah and Yeshua HaMashiach. Hope you all had a good Shabbat rest. I know we didn't. And man, we got a beautiful meal served to us yesterday. What a timely message about proving and testing, huh? I mean, the Father definitely is striving with us to get us to come up higher as we go on towards perfection. And that's the only thing that we got to look forward to, is to be ready for a soon coming King. Ain't that the truth, saints? Hallelujah. Well, it's good to have you all in the room. It feels like I've been off for about 3 months because with all the feast days and, you know, everything that's gone on. And hey, hallelujah, I'm glad to be back. And it's my privilege to be sitting before you all tonight. Let me see. Yeah, and before I get started here, hey, y'all, make sure you offer up your prayers of protection and however the Holy Spirit leads you to pray tonight for, you know, the Pastor Dowell and Brother Brett and Elias and Brother Vernon as they head down to South Carolina in the morning to, you know, start getting work on Straightway South Carolina with Elder Austin and the Saints down there. And it's a pretty good-sized project. There's a lot of man-hours involved in it. An incredible amount of building that's going to be taking place. But, hey, as in all things, that we've always been more than conquerors. We've been able to do all things through our Savior. And we've proven that time and time again as part of Straightway that, hey, we're just going to get her done, as that one guy says. I don't even remember his name. I don't care either, but I just remember some comedian used to say that. Anyway, all right, glory to the King. Tonight's topic, if some of you had a perchance by actually seen the headline or whatever, what's tonight's study is entitled, No Peace to the Righteous. Now, it kind of might take you for a little bit of a loop, because we know biblically that's not exactly the case. I mean, the peace does belong to those that are right in the Most High. I mean, we have His peace, right? Hallelujah. But what this is talking about as we get into the study is this false peace, this peace that we're going to be hearing about as the coming days of get closer to the coming of our King. And when we start hearing these voices, as the Bible is told us, as the Apostle Shaul has told us, as the prophets have said, that, you know, we need to watch out and be careful for those that are coming down the lane here, so to speak, coming up in our future, that are going to be doing out there trying to deceive the very elect, if it were possible. And it's going to be that deceptive. Again, this is like an end time notes and end time study again, just in preparation, just getting, you know, our minds sober to stay and discerning on the times that we live in. All right, again, the title of tonight's study is called No Peace to the Righteous. All right, everyone, no matter who they are, desire peace, peace in the soul, peace in the spirit, and peace in your flesh. Men go to great lengths and great cost in order to bring peace to themselves, so much so that humans actually go out and commit suicide in order to stop that internal pain, just trying to find a way out to get peace. We Israelites are constantly challenged by those things that satisfy and bring peace to the flesh, but it's the spirit and soul which needs the more work. And that is because once we reach that place where we trust solely in the Most High and lean not to our own understanding, then we can find peace in all things, that peace that passes understanding, and learn to find contentment in all things. All right, and again, Brother Ugly, again, it was a pleasure having you down here for the feast. Miss you, my brother, and appreciate you posting and taking care of keeping the saints informed tonight on this broadcast. And again, it's good to see you all in the room. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. All right, we're going to start in the New Testament, the Renewed Covenant, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1, and let me see, 1 through 7. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 7. The words of Paul to the church at Thessalonica. All right. But of the times and seasons, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of Yahshua so cometh as a thief in the night. for when they shall say peace and safety. So Paul is telling us there's certain things that we have to be aware of and be looking out for. There's certain terminology, there's certain conditions on this planet where you're going to hear people, the they, and we're going to find out who they are, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, and travail upon a woman with a child, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. So the ones that are going to be declaring peace and safety, they're going to experience when it's a lie, when it's a falsehood, and then the sudden destruction is going to come on them, and they shall not escape this destruction. Those which are spoken of by Paul to declare peace and safety are appointed to sudden destruction. Paul did not say that those who believed these words would be exempt from destruction, meaning that anybody hearkened to the words of the they that are actually speaking these things. But Paul did clarify that the ones speaking these things would be destroyed, and they will not escape this destruction. The big question is then, who are the they? And that's what we're going to find out, at least who I believe that they are, because the Bible gives me that evidence. Verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, not in obscurity, not in a place where we're not knowing, not in a place we're not paying attention to, or we don't have the clearness. So you, brethren, are not in darkness, are not in obscurity, that the day should overtake you as a thief, meaning that we actually have the knowledge, we've been given the wisdom, we've been given the understanding. Well, these things have been written, they've been taught, been preached on, so we shouldn't be ignorant that this day come upon us and overtake us as when a thief would enter in. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That's the way that the day of the coming of the Most High will not overtake us. We won't be caught off guard. Verse 7, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night, or a very dark and gloomy, gross time on this earth. You know, the Apostle Paul, he's writing this letter to the assembly at Thessalonica. Okay, so we know it's going to the, quote, church. His words are meant for those who say they are born again in the Messiah, those who proclaim they are of Israel. Now Paul is admonishing the saints that they know of the times and seasons of the coming of the Yeshua, and that it is those which will be caught off guard in the same way a thief would break in and be gone again once before one noticed. What in the world, boy? My typing is horrendous. I'm reading from my notes. Sorry. Let me try this again. A time when a thief is most likely and under the cover of darkness. So, and when Paul is speaking of those things which are in darkness, those which sleep in the night, quote, and those that be drunk in the night, he is speaking of those which say they are of Israel, those which say they are waiting for their master's return, but all the while not giving heed or paying attention to the times and seasons. Quite often it is assumed that Paul is speaking of those in the world, but it is very unlikely he is making reference to those of the world simply because they are not watching and have no desire to watch for the coming of Jesus and are obviously none of his. So what I'm saying, you know, not all who say they are Israel is Israel. Paul is addressing to those that are actually striving to stay sober, to be looking, that are aware of the times and seasons. But there are others that are in the body that, and Jesus is going to touch on this, we're going to read that, that are drunken in the night, that are asleep, that aren't paying attention. And we're going to read that something that Yeshua spoke to the apostles and the people back then, and it applies for today. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 through 51, Matthew chapter 24. All right. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your master does come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known, if he had actually been paying attention, been sober and watching, been discerning, been paying attention to the signs of the times, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have allowed suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, the beauty of the words of the Messiah and obeying them not only will prepare those who are of the light and waiting for him to return, like, quote, the thief in the night, so they don't come to spoil, but in actively putting in practice soberness and discernment will keep the other thieves, demonic spirit, from gaining access to it. And that's my, again, my typewritten notes, and I got to do a whole lot of better job of proofreading. Man, I must have been tired on this one. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is that what the Messiah did is, because we actively put into practice this place where we're always discerning in prayer and fasting, always staying in our word, always having a sober mind and awareness of the times, always looking out, that not only does it heighten us spiritually the coming of the King, but it also gives us, of course, our radars up for any demonic spirits that might try to come in, because it's the same analogy as Yahshua, when he's coming as a thief in the night. That's how our enemy shows up as well, as a thief in the night. And then he gains entrance, and then he, yeah, if you would have known which watch the enemy was coming in, you wouldn't have allowed your house to be, you wouldn't have given him entrance or access to your home, meaning you. All right, verse 45. Who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his master hath made ruler over his household, to give them due meat and to give them meat in due season? Excuse me. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find him doing. Truly I say unto you, then he shall make him ruler over all his goods. That's the reward that he's going to get when he's actually looking and waiting for the master and preventing the master's house, preventing this, our bodies, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, be overtaken by thieves. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delayeth his coming. Okay. Oh, so now it's going to happen. And he shall begin and smite, growing lazy, growing apathetic, growing bored, growing in greatly in a spirit of passivity. I don't care. Lethargy, settle on the lees. And he shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. So it's talking about somebody that's in the body, that's the servant of the master of Yahshua, and then all of a sudden they get apathetic and lazy, and they start to eat and drink with the other people that are doing the same thing. You know, it's a familiar spirit. It's a draw. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware. Well, how can he? I mean, he can't be looking because he's too busy either sleeping or drinking or in revelry or rousing or in gross and things of the world and having the cares and riches of this world in the forefront of his mind, rather than seeking first the kingdom of Yah and his righteousness. And shall cut him asunder and point him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, Romans chapter 13, verses 10 and 10 through 14. Again, we're going back and kind of opening, broadening up a little bit more of Paul's words to the in his letter to the churches to the Thessalonians, about, you know, that there would be those that wouldn't be aware, wouldn't be watching, wouldn't be sobering. And, you know, Paul, of course, he is just repeating the things that Yahshua had already admonished the disciples and the people there. And of course, Paul absolutely got wind of this, and he's repeating it in his letters. All right, Romans 13, 10 through 14. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, again, knowing the time, being aware of what's going on presently and in the future, that now, right now, it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we... So who's he taught? Paul's addressing this to the Romans, the church at Rome, the assembly at Rome. He's telling them it's high time to wake out of sleep, all right? But then he's saying in Thessalonica, those that sleep are going to sleep in the night. Those will be drunk in the night. But he's giving admonition here, man, wake up, snap out of it, get back into serving the Most High in his kingdom. Cast off the unfruitful works of darkness. The day is far spent. The night is far spent. The day is at hand, meaning it's dawning into the new day. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. I mean, this is an amount. Come on, Israelites working in darkness, operating in the realm of the flesh, or whatever it may be, man, cast off these works of darkness. Let's put on our armor of light. Be prepared, and let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife, and all the conditions that remove our mind from what's going on presently, getting caught up with all the cares and all the stuff that leads to a docile approach to your spiritual condition. But put ye on the Master Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So Paul rounds it all up saying that when you make provisions for the flesh, this is where the darkness enter in. This is where the drunkenness, the rioting, everything, when we make more time for the flesh, trying to find a place of peace for it rather than striving to enter into the kingdom of the Most High. The facts are that in the very near future, this earth and those living on this planet will experience heartache, and we already see that, pain and suffering on an unprecedented level. Great chaos and uncertainty as to the present and in the future will be the present reality for most of the inhabitants of this world. And there will most certainly be a great cry for peace and tranquility and peace and safety. The Messiah spoke all too clearly about these things coming upon the face of this earth, and he gave us a very profound clue as to why these things will come upon the face of this earth and why men will seek to remove all those which are of the kingdom of heaven. All right, back in the book of Matthew 24, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 1. Let me see. This is a big one. 1 through 13, 13 verses. All right, starting verse 1. And Yahshua went out and departed from the temple, and the disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Yahshua said unto them, see ye not all these things? Truly I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as they sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, take heed that no man deceive you. I mean, even before he started giving description of what the end was going to be, the principal thing he was making them get into their mind, and the principal thing was take heed that no man deceive you, that no man's going to catch you unawares, that you're going to allow no thief to enter into your house. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, I am the Messiah, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And of course, you know, the actual factual problems that are over there right now with Korea and the rest of that, that's just another area, just another place where we're hearing war and a possible war and rumors and rumblings of a war. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, Jesus, he goes on and lists a number of things which will let us know that we are in the beginning and then the time of sorrows. Religious deceivers shall arise. I mean, he gives us a list. He gives us the things we need to watch for as we get into the beginning of sorrows, or just those things preceding the time of the beginning of sorrows. We need to look for all these things. That'll let us know that we're there. Religious deceivers shall arise. Nations will go to war against one another, and there shall be famines and much disease and earthquakes in many places. What makes the time of sorrow such a singular event, such a focal event, as compared to the history of this planet and mankind in general, is that the time of sorrows will be global, because it's never been like that before, as far as we know. All the things Yahshua spoke of have been part of the earth for thousands of years. Nations rose against nations for thousands of years. There's been famine since the beginning. You know, the Bible's an excellent history book about it. There's been diseases that have wiped out entire populations. There's been earthquakes, that massive earthquakes, and there's been wars all the time, you know, and people have been falling under great deception. I mean, Roman Catholic Church has been doing it for, what, 2,000 years now? And all the other false religions out there. But this is going to be, these things are coming on a global scale. History proves this to be the case as we read many of these events in the pages of our Bibles, but never in the history of mankind will these sorrows encompass the entirety of the earth. I mean, you know, even the United States, they saw little bits of hard times like through the Great Depression, right? And people did suffer, but, you know, it was hard times, but people still managed to get work, to eat, to, you know, we haven't been to this country to the point where I don't believe the masses will be, you know, eating their own children or whatever. We ain't there yet. So this country has been spared by a lot, but it's definitely coming, no doubt. And I don't think there's anybody that would disagree with that. Okay, when all these happens, when the beginning of sorrows, when we see all these things that Jesus lists, he says in verse 9, and it's at this point. Okay, because somebody's got to be blamed for all this stuff, man. Somebody has to take the blame for all this bad stuff coming upon the face of this planet. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations. Because why? Why are you going to be delivered up? What's the for my name's sake, for standing for the name of Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ? And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. I mean, you talk about the poster word for hate speech. It's going to be Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. He says it right here. That's what's going to turn people to go absolutely insane and start trying to find whatever they can do to get themselves out of these present turmoils, distresses. Somebody's going to be to blame. Somebody's got to be the problem. Religion has to be the one that's fueling all this great turmoil on the planet. You know, mankind will ultimately look for someone or something to blame for the great turmoil and hardships facing the inhabitants of the globe, and blame will come against the Messiah and those that which are of Christ. Jesus said clearly that when these great sorrows fill our planet, that it would be then, like we just talked about, like I said, that those who are in Christ and of Christ shall come under persecutions. The attack against the chosen of Yah will come in its greatest measure during the time of sorrows and after those days as well, as Revelation 13 tells us that the beast will make war on and against the saints for 3.5 years. The name of Yahshua and what the kingdom of our Yah represents will become the catalyst for those outside of the kingdom of our Christ to bring betrayal, to usher in affliction, death against the saints of the Most High. They're going to be targeting those that say the name of Jesus. In a nutshell, you know, the people of this world will blame the only one true faith for all the hardships and turmoil facing this earth. As those living at this very time, we'll be the ones which will witness a global assault on the name of Jesus and the kingdom of our Yah. All right, verse 11. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. So we're coming into a time where many false prophets, and Jesus already said, they are going to deceive many. I mean, there should be nobody that should ever think for a minute that they can't fall into some type of deception. I mean, that's a take heed that you be not deceived. I mean, the first things that Jesus said in Matthew 24, man, you be paying attention that this stuff don't catch you unawares, because they're not going to come with this, you know, this weak doctrine stuff, these weak examples of the supernatural power, divine power. They're going to come with some real stuff that's going to cause many people to question, you know, that, hey, is this really Yahshua to come right now? I mean, we may not think about that possibly right now, because the day, and we can easily spot, I mean, people coming through this ministry, we know how to try the spirits. I mean, and straightway, especially the people that have been with this ministry and the heads of the fellowships around there and the elders and a lot of the brethren that have dealt with so many of these spirits that have tried to come in here and overthrow the faith of many. I mean, they ain't been nothing yet. So it's going to get more sneaky, and, you know, more the levels of deception have got to get deeper. All right. The big question is how these false prophets, which arise when they shall deceive many, how are they going to do this? What are they going to say to the chosen of Yah? What words will cause most to be taken into the snare of words and false proclamations? Okay, we're going on again. verse 12. Did I? Yeah. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, because crookedness, as Pastor did so brilliantly when Yah had put in his spirit to talk about sins, transgression, iniquities. Beautiful message. You haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. I think he did it last summer, I believe. I don't remember the exact time. Maybe early fall. But it was like two or three part series, if I remember. Sins, transgressions, iniquities, broke it down real well. And because of the iniquity shall abound, the love of money shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Let me see, what time is it? 6:32. Hey, we're going to take a ministry break. So you can drink water, use the bathroom, whatever. We'll be right back.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G. T-O-N, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah, the King is coming. Beautiful. Hey, if y'all up on the chat board, Brother Steve posted the link to the three types of wickedness and iniquity, sin, transgression that I just talked about earlier that pastor had preached about here earlier last year. And I would really recommend that if you haven't heard it, please download it, go to that link and watch it. And if you have heard it, it'd be good to hear it again. That's for sure. Hallelujah. All right, back to it. Again, we're talking about no peace to the righteous. And, of course, the peace we're talking about is this is the false peace that's going to be presented on this planet. And the key in 1 Thessalonians that I opened up with is there was a they that were going to be the ones that were actually out there going to be seeing peace and safety. Now, granted, there's going to be other people besides what I'm getting into, but there's a specific group of people that are going to be putting off the idea that everything is all right and, you know, don't be concerned about what's going on. We got your back type of thing. Anyway, going to the book of Mike. Oh, yeah. And then, anyway, let me read this first. There is coming a time when many false prophets and false diviners will stand amongst Israel and speak false messages of hope and peace among the people. It will be at this time that the true last the true two last prophets of Yah will appear before the people. But in order for these things to be, there must be some great turmoil and distress in nations on this earth, and greatness and magnitude and suffering and turmoil. You know, these things would mimic the pattern of Israel from days of old, meaning that we're going to go back and look at many examples of that when the people were suffering hardships and turmoils and going through rough times, mainly because of their own iniquities, that these false prophets would rise up. And you're going to find out how many times they actually give this declaration that there was peace and safety, everything was okay, and everything was, you know, well and decent in order. Man, I just had this thought, and it just slipped my mind, too, as I'm going to say something. All right, maybe I'll come back. Hallelujah. All right, the book of Micah, chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Micah, chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. All right. Thus saith Yahweh, the Master, concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry. What do they say? What do they cry? They cry peace. They bite with their teeth and they cry peace, and they make Yah's people to err, making, lulling them into a false, deceptive state. And he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore night shall be unto you. Remember the darkness. Now this is the ones that receive the words of these false prophets crying peace. Therefore night shall be unto you, that you shall not have a vision. Also talking to the prophets as well. You're not going to have one. You're going to be in darkness. And it shall be dark unto you, and you shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then the seers shall be ashamed, the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of Yah. Yah isn't talking to these people. They're making declarations, but the Most High ain't the one telling them what to say. You know, if you've ever dealt with these really religious, I mean, what was the dude that just came? I mean, I talked on and off with this man for a couple of years, and he never once let on that he was always very cooperative, and you know, we always had decent conversations until he got here, because ultimately he had an agenda. That was that Solomon that came on the end of the feast. Some of y'all that were here may remember him. He spoke to Pastor, and then, you know, and Pastor pretty much let him have, you know that this is the way it is, and you know, we ain't buying none of this stuff. And then this man actually saw that, I think it was Brother Freeman and a few other brothers cast some demonic spirit out of somebody. And, of course, that really got him. He started to question that. And it sounds like that the brethren really handed this guy's rear end again all over the fact. And, of course, you know, we'll see what happens. But anyway, the fact of the matter is I found out later that he had actually gone to somebody and had already said, in the short time that he was a prophet of the Most High. Okay, so this guy coming here with that kind of mindset, this super religious attitude and spirit, and he actually, I mean, these people, when they say that they believe they're prophets, I actually believe they're convinced of that. I mean, Ralph Stair down there, the Overcomer Ministry, he's thinking he is still a prophet, the last day prophet of Yah. Yeah, he's a false prophet, but people listen to him. Look at the small congregation down there that are still deceived by what he has to say. So, and they think they're hearing perfectly fine because he's preaching Yah's word. But they can't discern. They, you know, thankfully we got let out of that deception. Hallelujah. I mean, it was like, wow, what in the world? Nah, no, we ain't going down that road again. So, yeah, they do show up, and we've had several prophets over the years either come and show themselves to us, or, you know, call and do whatever and say that, you know, we need to be doing this and give us instruction. It's really truly amazing thing, but they are out there. Don't kid yourself. They are out there. And I think we're going to start seeing more and more of them as the supernatural, as the, you know, the forces of Satan, even, as we're going to read, they transform themselves into ministers of light. I mean, it's going to be that kind of deception. And these people are going to start doing stuff that's going to be totally amazing. They're going to draw a lot of people to them. All right, as Paul stated in his letter to the Thessalonians, that they, the children of light, would not be in darkness, or would not be the ones which were deceived by the voices of the many prophets which shall arise. The ones which will be in darkness will be those which give heed and credence to the words and direction of these false seers. Daniel chapter 8, verses 23 through 25. Daniel 8, 23 through 25. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to a full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. I think this pretty much really lines up with what Yeshua, Jesus, was talking about in, I think, Luke chapter 21, or was it 19, when you see, when the Gentiles will fully come in. We all know what I'm talking about. I got it kind of jumbled in my head, but... but here, when the transgressors have come to a full, anyway, there's going to be a time when it's finally reached its limit. And a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and he shall prosper and practice, and he shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. So who's he going to attack? This king of fierce countenance, he is going to destroy the mighty and the holy people wonderfully. He shall prosper and practice, but not by his own power. So the destruction is aimed at the mighty and the holy people. Man, these are the getting towards the elect. And through his policy, he shall cause craft to prosper. This man's going to give demonstrations of supernatural power, great healings, great deliverances. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. And he shall stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. So how's this king of fierce countenance, ones that understands dark sense? He's down deep in the stuff in the supernatural, in the occult, in the Gnosticism, whatever else, but he's going to present himself as some great thing before Yah's people, because that's the ones it didn't say that he was going to destroy the nations of the world or the people of the Gentile nations, but his focus is on the mighty and the holy people of the Most High, and he's going to do it by his magnificent signs, his crafts, as Daniel says, and by peace. I mean, he's going to promote a doctrine out there. This is peace. You know, this is the demonstration of Yah, the power of Yah. You know, have no fear. We're going to show you how Yah is alive. And, you know, all right. And I got my notes. He's going to offer up false terms, false conditions of peace, make false promises that we will not be harm, being that you're going to be spared from a lot of this. I got you covered. Look at the mighty things that I'm doing. All right, Ezekiel chapter 13, and that's verses 8 through 18. No, 8 through, this is a big one. Let me get them all here this time. 8 through 23. Ezekiel 13, 8 through 23. Thus saith Yahweh the Elohim, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore behold, I am against you, saith the Most High. Okay, so who is he against? My hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity. Now these are the ones that are in Israel. All right, they're actually amongst the people. My hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity, that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, meaning they're not actually Israel. They say they are of Israel, but they are not of Israel. Neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter in the land of Israel. You shall know that I am Yahweh. You shall know that I am Yahweh. I'm not going to allow this to happen, these liars, these false diviners. Because remember, that said that they're going to be destroyed. These people that speak this false peace and safety and divine these lies, they're going to be destroyed. Of course, they won't be a part of the assembly of Yah's people. Because they have seduced my people, again, take heed that no man deceive you. They have seduced my people, saying, peace. And there was no peace. I mean, actually, the words are so convincing, and they believe these people. The ones that were seduced were looking so much for some direction in times of turmoil and trouble and heartache and hardship that they actually swallowed up what these false diviners had to say, because they believed that they were the voice of the Most High. And one built up a wall, and lo, others dubbed it with untempered mortar. It's not going to stand. Untempered mortar, excuse me, not going to stand. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and yea, oh, great hailstones shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend. Boy, Yah's going to prove every man's work, whether it be of him or not. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith you have daubed it? I mean, it looked like it was a good wall. It looked like it was solid. I mean, it had all the stuff in the joints, but look at the material that was used to put it together. It was a material of lies and falsehoods and deception. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh the Elohim, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in my anger and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that you have dubbed with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered. And it shall fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and you shall know that I am Yahweh the Elohim. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have dubbed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto them, the wall is no more, neither they that dubbed it. And he removed it all, took down the veil, the cloak of maliciousness, the cloak of deception, removed it all. To wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, in which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith Yahweh the Elohim. And I'll tell you what, this Jerusalem today, there ain't no peace coming for that place. Guarantee there ain't one lick of peace coming for that thing. And when these false prophets show up, these false Jews, these false Israelites show up over there back in Jerusalem, and I believe it's going to become the capital again. I know Trump is pushing it, and he calls it the capital. I mean, it's been, what, since 1995, since that ruling was made that they couldn't move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. But now you get Trump, man. That was one of the platforms that he went on when he was running for office of president, man. He said he would put United States Embassy back in Jerusalem because he believes it's the capital. So anyway, that's just my own opinion. But, you know, these prophets are going to show up in Jerusalem, this war-torn place that's just bound and headed for destruction, and they're going to proclaim peace. And there is no peace, saith Yahweh the Elohim. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own hearts, and prophesy thou against them. Wow, even the women are going to start. The prophetesses are going to show up. And say, thus saith Yahweh the Elohim, woe to the women that sew pillows to their armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people? And will you save the souls that alive that come unto you? And will you pollute my people among my people for handfuls of barley? And for pieces of bread, just little handouts, you know. This is it'll come to me anyway. To slay the souls that should not die, and to save the souls alive that should not live, while you're lying to my people that hear your lies. So you got these prophets and prophetesses coming out there just for, you know, a little bit of handout. Little things under the table, a little bit of, bribe money, whatever you want to call it. They're going to sit out there and proclaim to Israel. Wherefore thus saith Yahweh, and behold, I'm against your pillows, wherewith you there hunt the souls to make them fly. And I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. Your kerchiefs also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand. Like you said, they're not going to be in the assembly of the righteous when Yah brings us back and gathers us again. And they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and you shall know that I am Yahweh the Elohim. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way, by promising him life. Man, life, peace, happiness. Man, everything's going to be good. Everything's going to be fine. Little pat on the back. Man, don't worry about it. Yah's got your back. He just told me. Therefore, you shall see no more vanity, no divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand. You shall know that I am Yahweh the Elohim. Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes. The city is full of violence. Oh, I'm sorry. That was the last verse. This is Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 23 through 27. I got to rolling. Sorry, Brother Ali. Anyway, 23 is the last verse. Now we're in Ezekiel 7, 23 through 27. All right, the prophet Ezekiel says again, make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes and the city is full of violence. Wherefore, I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess their houses. And will I also make the pomp of the strong deceased, and their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction cometh, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Then shall they seek a vision from the prophet. Okay, Ezekiel's pointing this out beautifully, man. He's saying exactly what people are going to do. Destruction is going to come. They're going to look for peace because there's so much turmoil. And we talked about the beginning of sorrows and all the stuff that's going to go open and what's going to happen because people are being delivered up and afflicted and betrayed. And, man, people are going to be running all over looking for peace. And whatever it is that they got to do, if they got to take themselves out to get it, you know, whatever the case may be, if they have to, remove their entire family so they get peace, it's going to be rough. But anyway, they see the destruction coming. And they're going to look for peace, and there's not going to be any. Even if there is a presentation of it, it's just not going to exist. Mischief shall come on, and rumor shall come. Then they shall seek a vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest and counsel from the ancient. The king shall mourn, and the prince shall be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled. I will do unto them after their way, and according to their deserts will I judge them, and they shall know that I am Yahweh the Elohim. All right, Matthew chapter 24, back to the words of Yahshua. The words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 24, verse 22 through 24. Oh, that, yeah, just popped back in my head. I mean, there's already a form of these false prophets, these false teachers, these false liars. I'm sure most of you have either heard of or maybe seen a video or actually talked with people themselves that, these pastors out there and these preachers and whatever title, these reverends and whatever else that, you know, they hold to Romans 13 that we're supposed to obey, you know, the civil government of this world. And that's, you know, who Paul was writing about in Romans 13. And of course, they're already a sort of false brethren, false prophet, because they're out there trying to soothe the hearts of the people, man. It's okay. You know, this is what the Bible says. This is what, you know, just submit yourselves to the civil authority, do whatever they do. You know, the Father understands because he said that this is what you need to do. So again, here's great deception. And of course, in this ministry, we've spoken against that many times, many times. All right, Matthew 24, 22 through 24. And except those days should be short and there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, and there believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. This is how they're going to deceive the very elect. Supernatural wonders. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And of course, when it talks about the false Christ, these are also false deliverers. Ones that say, we're going to take you out of this situation. You know, we're going to deliver you from the bonds of the turmoil and the torment and the chaos that you're experiencing. Just listen to what we have to do. You know, listen to what we have to say. Follow us an example. I'm telling you, it's going to get so rough. People are going to be begging for people to deliver them, to relieve them of their situations. And again, this country, North America as a whole, we ain't seen that yet, but it's coming. Jeremiah 23, 14 through 17. Jeremiah 23, 14 through 17. And I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and they walk in lies. They strengthen also the hand of evildoers that none does return from his way. Because if you're a true prophet of the Most High, you're not going to be received except amongst the righteous. Look at the two last prophets of Revelation 11. Now, the only reason that they're going to be able to speak and demonstrate the power of the Most High for 3.5 years because he's going to keep them from getting injured, hurt, or killed. But after 3.5 years, according to what he already said, then he's going to allow them to the world to kill him or supposedly kill him. And he's still going to show the world that they didn't have nothing over these two prophets. But here we have these prophets, again, focal pointing is back in Jerusalem again. And what they're doing is strengthening the hand of all these evildoers. They're seeking after those that forsake the holy covenant, like it says in Daniel, so they can get strength from the people, because you have a show of force, you have more people behind you, more people that agree with you. Yeah, of course you become more of enigma to the people. That none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah, man, homosexuals, abominations. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh the Elohim of hosts concerning the prophets. Behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall, for from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith Yahweh the Elohim, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. Don't listen to nothing they got to say. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of Yahweh. They say still unto them that despise me. Yahweh has said, all right, even those that still are against and rebellion transgression against the Most High, they say unto them, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. Going to these people that are showing no demonstration of righteousness at all, walking in their wicked ways, and these prophets, you're going to be fine. Everything's going to be all right. You shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Those that are in darkness, those that are in drunk, surfeiting and rebellion and caught up in the cares of this life, yeah, easy targets. These false seers, sages, will speak and perform in such a manner that they will be able to gain and deceive many into letting their guard down. They will speak flatteries before the people, telling them that they are the escaped, that they have escaped the wrath of Yah, that they are in a safe place because of their obedience, and to be at ease in their spirits, all the while luring out those which have brought into these false prophets' lies. And typos again. These will be spiritual men, quote, spiritual men, men carrying a manifestation of spiritual authority, men who will appear to heal the hurt of the daughters of Jerusalem, all the while deceiving and being deceived. There is going to come in the last days a flood of deceiving spirits speaking to the minds of men, convincing them that they are the prophets of the Most High, allowing them to demonstrate magnificent feats of miracles, signs and wonders. And what I did put in here, which we saw demonstrated earlier, they're actually going to use the word of the Most High to substantiate that, this isn't going to come upon you because Yah said, look, his word, our Elohim said, this is not going to befall you. I mean, what better way to use the word of Yah, because it's there to draw the righteous and it's there to deceive the wicked. They will know how to speak to the hearts of men. This is how it would be possible to deceive the very elect. And when I put in capitals, they will know how. They will know what to say, how to do it, how to lure men away from the place of safety in Yah. Jeremiah 14, Prophet Jeremiah chapter 14, verses 13 through 16. Jeremiah 14, 13 through 16. And then we're going to go to Jeremiah 6, 13, and 14. So we're back in Jeremiah for a little bit. All right, chapter 14, starting verse 13. Then said I, Yahweh the Elohim, behold, the prophets say unto them. This is Jeremiah petitioning the Father, man. Hey, these prophets are out here that say the prophets of Israel. They're saying unto the people, you shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then Yahweh said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and the thing of naught in deceit of their hearts. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. Again, back to 1 Thessalonians, they're going to meet their own destruction. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them. So all these people that took heed to these lying diviners, yeah, they're going to pay the same price. And they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. Jeremiah 6, 13 and 14. Jeremiah 6, 13 and 14. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Remember reading earlier in Ezekiel that they were adulterers and they had a few other bad things going on. Well, now they're talking about their very covetousness, this type of spirit. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, what is the proclamation again? Peace, peace, when there is no peace. So that's why I'm saying no peace to the righteous. The righteous are not going to fall for the false peace. That's the reason for the catchy title. These things have I... I'm saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. All right, John chapter 16, verse 33, just the one verse. John 16, 33. Yahshua said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Who's the peace in? It's Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Savior, that in me you might have peace. Well, this peace that Jesus is talking about, look at what he's going to relate it to. He says, in me you're going to have peace, but in the world you shall have tribulation. But the false prophets are telling everybody that's in tribulation that there's peace. I'm going to pull you out of it. All right? But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 through 15. Yeah, we're just about done. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 12 through 15. And the Apostle Paul says, but what I do, that I will do. I mean, what I intend to do, I'm going to do it. That I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles. The ones he's going to cut off occasion that desire occasion. I should have looked behind that word. I didn't think about it until now, occasion. I'll do that when I get home. But such are false apostles. Deceitful workers. And Paul's going to let them know. He's going to cut off anything that they're trying to do or promote. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Again, that untempered mortar and that daub, that wall with untempered mortar, it's going to come down. 1 John 2, 18 through 24. 1 John 2, 18 through 24. Little children, it is the last time, as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, when Paul wrote, or John wrote these words, you know, a little bit short of 2,000 years ago, even then he was talking about a spiritual condition. There was a lot of people rising up, showing themselves to be Christ. It was actually false Christ. They were transformed into the apostles, the apostles of Christ when they were actually false apostles, and their works were exposed. But, you know, John, they were dealing a lot with, and even more so in this time. Now are there many antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not out of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us, because Yah is not going to allow this spirit to be a part of his assembly. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And we've seen that. I mean, how many pastors talked about it? You know, I can't even tell you how many times that everybody that's ever left ministry just straightway, that when they went out, they still believe that they're serving Yah. They actually truly believe that they're keeping his, you know, that they're pleasing to him. They're doing those things that he approves of. And of course, you know, it talks about in 2 Thessalonians 2 about, you know, getting turned over to a reprobate mind. Is that Romans 1? Maybe I'm thinking of two different things. Romans 1, I think it is. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. All right, verse 20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. But who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. This is going to be a good test, because even in these latter days when things get really worse, we're going to have to learn how to even more so to try the spirits. We're going to have to take that up to a whole nother level. Let that therefore abide in you, which we have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. Stand steadfast on the earth. All right, my Israelite family, that is the conclusion of this study tonight. I hope it was for some edification and learning. I really do. I appreciate always that y'all tuning in and giving an ear to the study tonight. And hey, I hope your week is blessed. I truly do. I hope that you stay encouraged and continue to fight the good fight of faith, because our adversary, you know, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, and he's seeking to devour. And again, Jesus's words, take heed that no man deceive you. That's why we always admonish people, man, don't be YouTube surfing, don't be eating off all these other tables, because ultimately that's what's going to happen. I mean, if there's, it's not saying that not everybody is speaking the truth, but just be careful, you know, be sober, keep in prayer, keep in fasting, do those things that, you know, defeat the flesh or bring your flesh into subjection so you can exercise the spiritual man and spiritual discernment. All right. Hallelujah. Hey, again, did you bring up the word occasion? I figured you might, Brother Ugly. Thank you. Starting point as opportunity. A place from which a movement or attack is made. Wow. Base of operations. That's pretty good. Hallelujah. Appreciate that. Anyway, it's good to have you all in the room tonight. Again, I hope you have a good week. And always lift up the men of Yah in the ministry. You know, Pastor Dow, of course, always, you know, his family as they support him and what he's doing. Pastor Corey out there in Kansas, Pastor Fox is, you know, we've seen little things going on that people are trying to deceive them even out there. And the Most High has always been faithful in exposing this. And, you know, pray for one another. Pray for the elders. Pray for the leadership, because we need structure and right ruling in Israel. Anyway, blessings to y'all. You stay encouraged. I believe our faithful elder Donnie's up a week from today, y'all willing. So y'all have a good week. And, hey, be encouraged. The King's coming.